My name is Andre Whitehead. For 15 years, I have grown the brand of Tennessee Prep Hoops. Now, with the assistance of Brent Watts, we bring to you Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio. All right, welcome. This is Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio at Sports Radio 1180 The VLZ. This is Andre Whitehead. Hope everybody's in from the snow. We had a little bit of snow out here in East Tennessee. Joining us in the studio, Seth, finally. I mean, we never know from 1 week to the next if he's going to be here.
You just never
know.
He's
like an absentee dad.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you never know when he's going to be here or not, but
I just thought it was like a chick that was out of your league that would hang out with you for pity, but
there are no chicks out of my league. You've obviously never met me.
Britney Spears.
We talk with her. We talk about her with reverence. I like what you're wearing, though. What's that? That's the... The scrubs, is that what they call them?
Yeah,
scrubs.
This is scrubs. The working.
Isn't that big. Kind of a double? What do you call that? A scrub wearing scrubs.
A
what
double,
is it?
It's just ironic.
Double
maybe.
Entendre. Yeah,
well, no, not really a double entendre.
Once you put them on, you just can't take them off. Like you get up in the morning, like we're going to look nice today. Like,
actually, they're not bad looking. They're black.
They're
I've
slimming.
Seen them with designs on them.
They're slimming. Slimming. These are slimming. Black is slimming.
You need that.
But the straight, the gray hair just stands out like you wouldn't believe. And Seth. Joining us on the mic, Seth Stokes.
Hello.
Our illustrious producer.
I knew he was here because I parked right next to his station wagon. So.
He did, yeah. He was actually parked up front this time. He wasn't in the back because kind of some slick out there. You don't want to fall.
Not trying to fall.
I can respect that. Yeah, we got a little weather in here. I know there's supposedly some more coming tomorrow.
There better not be. I'm over it.
I don't need it.
Well, that's good. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the this weekend. I was at the Music City Classic at Hillsborough High School in Nashville. A nice little tournament for Martin Luther King Day, and got to watch all the Tennessee teams play. Tennessee went 5-0 for the day, Brent.
Nice.
5-0, started with Cane Ridge, got a nice win. MBA won their game, then Hamilton Heights blew somebody out, and then...
Have they lost?
Yeah, they've lost. They lost. I mean, they play a... National schedule. They lost. People want to write this down, February 5th, February 6th at Macaulay in Chattanooga, Hamilton Heights and Oak Hill play. And it's a four team. It's Chattanooga Central, Macaulay, Oak Hill, and Hamilton Heights. And there's two games a day. And that's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to try to get up there on the Saturday.
Does that mean that if they're playing Oak Hill, Braxton's going to be there?
Braxton Blackwell / Key will be there.
Sweet.
We actually, he was on TV Sunday. They had that big tournament in Springfield, Massachusetts, and he was player of the game, if I'm not mistaken. He had a really, really good game. Great kid going to Alabama. Everybody knows how we feel about him.
Yeah, the guy I saw, not that he's from Tennessee, but is it Thonmaker? What's his name?
Yeah, Thonmaker. We need to get him to Indiana, by the way.
I thought it was Kevin Garnett, but... His name wasn't Kevin or Garnett, but
and
he's
from Canada.
Yeah, he looks and plays just like Kevin Garnett, but
yeah, he needs
younger.
To come to Indiana. But also at the Music City Classic in the Blackman girls. Now we don't talk much about girls basketball in here, but let me just tell you, Brent, I'm going to talk about her because she's the best girl player I've ever seen. Her name is Crystal Dangerfield. She was named to the McDonald's All-American team this week. She's going to UConn. That girl can play. That girl plays. She handles. She shoots jump shots. That girl's special.
I mean, I'm like you. I dabble in it, you know. But she's going to UConn?
She's going to UConn.
Oh, God.
So UConn may never lose again.
Oh,
special, dude.
Why not? Why? I mean.
Really? Do we need to go there? Do you really want to go there? Why she would not go to UConn? I know what you're thinking. I know where you think you should go. But have you seen him play lately?
She's going to UConn. I know. I've got another option that hits close to home with us where she could have gone. And fully reserved. No. Tyler Summit. La Tech.
You're putting them in the same breath as UConn?
You don't remember?
Years ago when they had a peach basket, they were good.
And they could be good
when
again.
When they had the girls play three on one side and three on the other.
Oh, stop.
Oh, please. Get over yourself.
Maybe it was 90.
UConn. She's going to UConn.
Maybe I was wearing neon Umbros. Anyway, when they were good. I don't
and
know.
The, and still the final game. Neon Umbros. He does. And the final game of the day, Brentwood Academy, who I had the pleasure, this is the first time I got to see them play this year, played Pace Academy out of Georgia with one of the top five players in the country in the class 2017, Wendell Carter, who is a beast. But Brentwood Academy pulled out the victory. Jeremiah Oatsvall, a junior shooting guard, and then Darius Garland, who I have as the number one player in the class 2018 in Tennessee, had a fabulous game. Both really good players, nice depth. Coach Hubie Smith does a great job with that team. So I got to go that first day, and so that was great. Good tournament, enjoyed it. Then we got a little bit of basketball news, I think we could say, and I don't know if we're going to be the first to break it. We probably aren't. I think
they've already by the time we upload the show. Or
yeah,
whatever,
by the time it comes out, but. Got some word from Bearden High School that the players are going to boycott the game on Friday if Coach Mark Blevins is not reinstated.
Well, wow. Let's go back, and if we were sophisticated, awesome. Which if you listen to the show, you realize we're pretty simple, but you could go back to when I predicted that Coach Blevins would let Farragut win a game for me. He would do it for me personally, and if they do boycott the game, that's a Farragut forfeit, and Farragut wins 1-0. The rivalry's reborn.
What? I mean,
no?
That's the rivalry's reborn? When the record is like 188-1, it's not a rivalry, okay?
Okay, well, I was looking for some positive affirmation.
Go,
I wasn't
gadget,
sure. I
grasping went out on, for straws.
I went out on a limb. What I thought was amongst friends,
you
and I got verbally
since,
assaulted
like,
since Blake Williams, since Drew Standifer was a senior.
Since that Rob Carpenter guy played there.
Yeah, he was tall.
He went to Minnesota. He's like 8 foot tall.
7 foot two. Todd Carpenter, yeah.
Todd Carpenter. Todd Carpenter. I know it was before you, but.
He's a clock guy. He fixes clocks. He's really good at it, too.
He fixes clocks.
Yeah. He's got a clock shop on Bearden Hill. Yeah.
Really? There's still people
that
fix
clocks? He's hard to miss because he had to cut the roof out for his head.
That's awesome. VH1s, yeah. Where are they now?
Yeah.
I mean, he's still around town. You can't miss him. He's 7 foot two.
But what do you think about that? What do you think about that, Seth? That is, I mean, that's a big statement for a bunch of high school kids.
That's a huge
that
statement.
Obviously want their coach back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is.
Kind of saying, you know, why was he, you know, taken from us to begin with in the midst of, you know, basketball season when you've got a team that's half freshman, so they need this guidance and stuff. And I don't really
yeah, you kind
of
need the head
honestly,
coach.
I don't care what they say about him or what they publish about him. I think he's a fantastic coach. He's a fantastic man. I love him to death. He's a great guy. He's an unbelievable teacher.
Yeah.
And you're not doing yourself a favor letting him. I don't, you know, honestly, you're not ever going to convince me that that it's not better for those kids having him on the sideline.
I won't
believe it.
I feel bad making light of the situation, especially with this statement from the players. I don't think that it's a necessary statement from the players. I'm biased. I get it. I don't think it's necessary. I think what is going on, you know, I've said it before, kids are young. You know, they're smart. You know, it used to be you were an adult at 18. Now 30 is the new 20. Now, you know, whatever, generational stuff. But the kids are intelligent. They're resilient. They're tough. Kids, they want to get better. And deep down, they kind of know what's best for them, especially in a situation that is adverse, like all sports are, especially at the high school level for kids. And they're, you know, it's a learning curve. But
what kids are you watching that are resilient and tough?
Just in general, it's more their spirit, you know, not their rebounding habits.
Okay.
They're not tough for rebounds, but they are resilient and. Their spirits are tough. So, yeah, this one is a...
So you don't agree with it is what I'm hearing you say.
No, I said I don't think they should be forced. I don't think they should be forced
the
into
the situation
this.
Should never have happened for them to even have
If there
about
was
that.
A suspension for whatever reason, because I don't know the whole story, because I don't think anybody knows the whole story.
Right.
But if there was a suspension in place for 30 days, it lifts in 30 days. I'm not going to insult anybody, but... When you make a firm statement, stick to it, you know?
Well, it didn't
we're giving
that
you
didn't happen.
30 days. So in 30 days, you're back, you know? And I don't think that the kids are saying that if Blevins is not back, we're going to boycott because they don't like coach is under what I don't think that's the message they're sending. You know, it's no, I think it is definitely we want Levin's back. That's what we want. Give it to us.
Well, anyway, we hope that whole situation works itself out and the Bearden kids get their coach back. And
it was a good game. It was in overtime. Bearden won by two on a last second shot against Farragut.
This last time they played?
The last time they played at Farragut. Now this one's at Bearden, which is obviously it's going to be tougher for these kids. But, you know, the Bearden kids have been through a lot. And I'll say this, they have not progressed as much without Blevins as they would have had he been there the whole time.
They lost a few games, actually.
That's pretty obvious. Now, will the emotion be there?
What do you think, Seth? What do you think about the kids doing that? I mean, do you think it's – I mean, I understand where they're coming from because they want their coach. I mean, what other resource do they have than to –
Yeah, but was the coach justified – I mean, was the school justified in suspending the coach?
That's really not for us to say. I mean, I think
– I would say yes. I would say yes. They made a decision that was within their power. So were they justified? Yes, they were.
But was it an overreaction or did they – because like you guys, I don't know the whole story, the entire story.
Well, we probably know more about it than you do, obviously. But
I'm sure. But from just outside of looking in, complete outside of looking in, if the school – did what they did because it needed to be done, then you can protest all you want.
Yeah.
You're just hurting yourself. And you're gonna skip a game for no reason.
In my opinion, someone's feelings got hurt and someone with some power went higher and that's what happened.
If that was the case, if somebody's feelings got hurt and someone went and won up somebody and went above, then maybe the kids are completely justified in what they're doing because
back to
it was
my point,
unfair.
Being very succinct is that if you handed out a 30-day penalty,
if it was a
you
justifiable,
set a defined deadline, it was within their authority. So for whatever reason, they made the decision.
But the thing is, if somebody got their panties in a wad and went and pulled some strings to get this done to get back at somebody, then that's an abuse of power, and it shouldn't have been done.
Well,
but now, if he did
something that
deserved the 30 days, then no, they shouldn't be protesting at all. It sucks that your coach got in trouble, but you're going to have to deal with it. But if he didn't really deserve to be suspended for 30 days, and it's just someone upset, then they have every right to do what they're doing.
Well, you're past 30 days. So my point is, you're past the 30 days,
and
he still hasn't been reinstated.
Well, then they're 110% justified.
Exactly. If you handed down a 30-day punishment,
see, I didn't know
serve 30 days.
The 30
they're at like 32 days.
Oh, then he should have been back
2 days
ago.
So that's my point. When you set...
Stick to it.
Yeah, that's it. So we were within our authority. Now we're just on an undefined suspension, which is doesn't help.
Jacklegs.
Doesn't help anybody because there's numerous people involved.
Well, let's change the subject a little bit to a happier tone.
Webb,
you remember the? Well, in a minute. How about this?
I would just
remember
want to scream
the,
that
how
one
we
right.
talked about when I was at the Penny Hardaway Hoop Fest about Tyler Harris, the 2018 guard who hit those three threes and took the Oak Ridge game from two to 12 points. Well, Tyler decided to, how about this, Seth? He hit 15 threes on Tuesday night, finished with 48 points.
High school games are 32 minutes. That's almost a three every 2 minutes by the same player.
48 points to lead Cordova to a victory, and he's a sophomore.
So 15 threes in one game.
32 minutes.
I don't think Tennessee's men's basketball team has hit 15 threes all season.
I will punch you in the face.
It's just
you badmouth my Vols again.
Look, I'm wearing a Tennessee shirt right now. Yeah.
But it says baseball.
It doesn't matter. It's orange.
Well, the baseball team scored as many points. I mean, you watched last night? How about Cameron? Did you see Cameron Justice?
It's a terrible
game. You remember him?
Terrible game.
Remember him? He was committed to Tennessee at one point.
I'm talking about that game.
Yeah.
You keep this up, and I'm gonna talk about my favorite highlight of the NBA season so far. Keep it up.
Which is?
Where Porzingis caught Oladipo's dunk attempt with two hands.
I love Porzingis, man.
I do too. But
Kristaps, baby.
I'm slapping you.
I know you're
guy.
Slapping.
I know you
guy.
Like him. I know he's
I
a good player.
I love Oladipo.
Oladipo's a good kid, but
Pacers play the Warriors tonight.
He challenged Porzingis.
Now, you were talking about Webb.
I just said one word. I just felt it needed to be screamed out. But yeah, let's talk about it.
Webb, big win the other night.
Big
knocked
win.
Number one team in the state in AA. Fulton will get on our state of the state for AA here as soon as we finish this little discussion. But Webb, behind 37 from Chase Ridenour, went and defeated the number one team in the state in AA that was undefeated.
37 against the number one team in the state who went to the state tournament last year, who goes a lot of years.
Most
they've
years,
got a good coach.
They got a great coach.
Yeah. And
so huge win for Ricky Norris and Webb, actually. Huge win for
and
them.
Fulton's got some players.
Fulton's got some depth. They've got some they got guys that play hard. They're well coached, which is, you know, we all know that. And they're you know, that's not going to affect them much. It'd probably actually make them play a little tougher. I don't think there's any doubt that
very rarely do teams
pretty much
go
they're coming
undefeated, but
they're coming out of East Tennessee.
Yeah.
And now we let's jump. Last week we did our state of the state on AAA. On AA we'll do a little of our state of the state. And you know, looking at the you know, obviously Fulton taking that loss, they may drop them from the number one team in the state, because the Jackson Southside is still sitting at 15-0 out in West Tennessee. And a little bit different team than normal. Jackson Southside always had stars, guys that were college prospects. They've got a little under the radar this year, but they've got a nice squad with a lot of depth. So they're making some noise out there. They're standing at 15-0. You got to look at Ripley at 17-5, making a little noise. Obion County is a team that a lot of people are sleeping on. They're 15-4 right now. Got two good guards in Joe Wiggins and Nathan King. And they're a team that is definitely, I think, going to make some noise out there. Fayette Ware, with their athletes, always dangerous. And then you got to talk about Haywood. Haywood's 13-8 right now. They've lost to a lot of AAA teams, but that was a team that won state last year.
Yeah.
And with some good guards, and I don't think you can count them out right now in West Tennessee.
Typically, the teams with zero or one losses moving into tournament play in basketball aren't near as scary as the teams you know that have four or five losses, but they were against.
Right, exactly. And then they're getting guys back here. And also, I want to mention Martin Westview. They're 14-3, and they're also a team that has got, you know, they got two Division I signees, got a really good coach, and Coach Greer got some young guys who can shoot the ball. So they're a team to watch out for. So then we, just as we're coming up I-40, I guess you could say, because I-40 runs the whole state.
Yes, it does.
Your boys at Creekwood, Ross Cummings, you know, they started out a little slow, lost some games, but they played some really good teams early. They're starting to find their stride. I think they're a team that definitely is somebody to watch out for.
Well, I was watching the Mercer game. I texted you the other day, and I was kind of watching how Ross would fit into their offense. So I'm going to call their coach and let him know what I think.
Don't harass people.
I'm not. No,
don't
but I
call
did.
People.
I did watch, and I was watching it with that.
Because I get calls saying, but, "Who's this Watts guy? He says he knows you." Yeah.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Dropping? Yeah, yeah. I'm name dropping Andre. I'm not name dropping Selena Gomez, who texts me all the time. I'm name dropping Andre Whitehead.
Different Selena Gomez,
yes,
though,
no,
right?
No, it's the one you're thinking
that's
of.
That's Santo Gomez, her uncle. Don't talk to him anymore. It's creepy.
No, I did. I enjoy.
He's got a nice
deal. You know, I enjoy that level of basketball. But I was watching. I was thinking. Then you think about Ross's ability to shoot, and you're like, "Yeah, he picked a good school." So,
yeah, and then
and they were playing Wofford too. So saw Kevin Giltner on the sidelines there, hair looking great. So
the Wofford staff, the entire coaching staff, other than Coach Young, is Dustin Kearns, who's from Tennessee, Tim Johnson from Tennessee, and KG.
Yeah, so I definitely was.
Well, sticking in Middle Tennessee for the AA, a team you got to watch out for is Maplewood with Bo Hodges. They're standing at 14-3 right now. I think you've got to watch out for East Nashville at 17-4. And then I've said it. We've said it on this. If you're playing in AA, you still got to come through CPA. You know, they're 13-9 or something, but the games they've lost have been in these huge. Their schedule was predetermined. They were going to these huge tournaments, thinking that Blackwell/Key and Tiger were going to be with them. So they're playing in big time tournaments against teams that are national teams, and they've taken some losses. They've taken some lumps, but they're 4-0 in their district. And I'm saying it now, and I've said it the whole time. AA still got to come through CPA.
That district record of 4-0 is kind of what is going to tell their story long term. Right.
And then as we, you know, come back towards East Tennessee, you got to look at Upperman, 16-4. Upperman's got a 6'9" kid, Josh Endicott, who is a kid that a lot of people don't have. York Institute at 15-5 with Colton Blevins, a Tennessee Tech signee, 6'8" kid. That's, you know, that's a luxury those two teams have that nobody else has, and that could be a determining
factor.
Can't
teach size.
You can't teach at the end of the game, like they always said. At the end of the game, W. Smith said, at the end of the game, that kid's still 7 foot. And then you you transition into the Chattanooga area, and you got Chattanooga Central at 13-1. Their only loss is to McCauley, and they got a nice young squad. They're not very deep, which could hurt them. And then as you come into Knoxville, in the Knoxville area, you've got to look at Fulton. They've only got the one loss, but I think this is going to energize them. And then CAK, who is solid and extremely well coached.
Good
and
win Catholic. Over Catholic. Well, yeah, Catholic too.
You got to have, you know, CAK beat Catholic the other night, but Catholic standing at 14-3, led by the incomparable, the magician, Luke Smith, who we love, Coach Hutch.
Davari Reeder over there.
And
too.
Love them kids, and they play hard, and that's a team, you know, that they're good. Anytime you got a point guard like that, that can change the dynamic. And then CAK, of course, led by Hunter Reynolds, a really good shooting guard. And then you've got to look at Granger at 17-4 from the other Upper East Tennessee, Unicoi County, another team that's solid. So let's go ahead and take this one to break. And when we come back, we have our interview, our Kelly Chiropractic interview segment with Jason Smith from the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Can't wait for that one. This is Andre Whitehead, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.
Join us for an in-depth discussion of the penetrating issues facing society today.
Penetrating.
The Swain Event in the fourth quarter. Rocky Top Insider Radio. The Dave Hooker Show and more. Sports talk around the clock. Sun up to sundown and online all the time. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.
Captain Eric Lawrence was training Afghan soldiers when his truck was hit by an IED.
I was on a way from Kandahar to Klot, hit an IED that just took the truck and threw it up in the air and slammed it on the ground. I knew at first that I got hurt pretty bad because I couldn't move my legs. I sat home alone for months, and I didn't want that anymore. I wanted to go back to work. I was hesitant at first, you know, because I didn't work for a good year. I want to be a productive person. I don't want to be a drain on society. I want to be a positive thing in society. PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
Helping veterans like Eric is what we've done for over 65 years. Paralyzed Veterans of America, paving access for veterans' employment through Operation PAVE. For more information, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is Andre Whitehead at Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio to talk about my friends at the John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. For all your commercial, home, and auto needs, look to the John Bailey Company at 1011 North Broadway in Knoxville or contact them at 865-524-0785 or email at johnbaileyco.com. The John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. How can we help you? Have you ever wanted to see more of the Avengers, X-Men, or Walking Dead, or learn more about the Arrow or the Flash? Or maybe you're looking for a great way to get your child into reading without having to spend a lot of money? Then check out Snake Eyes Comics. Snake Eyes Comics has been Knoxville's top spot for all your comic and nerd needs. With two convenient locations in the Home Depot Shopping Center in West Knoxville and off the Callahan Road exit in North Knoxville, Snake Eyes Comics has something for everyone. Find us on Facebook and stop in today.
People wanted to keep up with and talk about their favorite sports teams, so we took care of it.
What'd you do?
All the latest info, all the best talk, here on the Sports Station.
The Vols, Titans, and more. Sound off. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, at sportsradiothevlz.net.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This is Andre Whitehead with Brent Watts, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ. And on the phone with me right now, very excited about this, Brent. One of the nicest guys I've ever met in the business from the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Say hello to Jason Smith. How you doing, Jay?
Man, I'm doing great, Andre. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, I appreciate it more than you know, man. We actually got to know each other. I've, you know, followed your stuff for years. I've always read. I think you guys do the best prep coverage of basketball than anybody in the state. It's not even – there's like – you're like one, and it nobody's even close. You know, it's crazy.
Thank you.
It is. No, it is. I am – trust me, from someone that looks at every newspaper – and accumulates data from every newspaper and how difficult some things are to get. I mean, I always thought the least you could do is put box scores in, at the very least. And some of these places, it's crazy. But we don't even – that's not what we're here to talk about. But you guys are the best. So, but last year in Atlanta at the Under Armour, we got to sit down and talk a little bit, and that we'd never really got a chance to, you know, we've spoke before and we knew
that's
each other, but I really got a chance to talk to you a little bit, man. And I remember telling Brent when I got back, man, how much I enjoyed talking to you and getting to know you. And, it was just, you know, a lot of the newspaper people don't take kindly to guys like me. I don't know why I don't know. I think maybe they're afraid we're infringing on their turf, which I've always thought we could enhance, you know, everything they do. But it was just wonderful talking to you, man. And right now you are sitting in the Fifth Third Arena in Cincinnati because the Memphis Tigers are getting ready to play the Bearcats tonight, correct?
Jim Rett got a ball game in a couple of hours here, and it's a big one for Memphis. And you know the short of this, Andre. Lately they have not been able to win big games.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You know how important University of Memphis basketball is to the city. So right now, it's kind of you've got a fan base that's kind of tired of losing big games. And frankly, it probably feels like they're going to come in here and lose tonight to Cincinnati. You know, it's just kind of the state of things here the last couple of years. Memphis hadn't been able to win the big game with Josh Pastner as the head coach. And tonight, they're certainly hoping they can do so against a good, not great, but a good Cincinnati team.
Yeah, I hope so too, man. I am a huge fan of Josh. And I've always been a big Memphis fan, and I really hope things can turn around for him because he's a wonderful, wonderful guy, and I know he cares so much. But going back, you're a guy that's from Memphis, which is interesting. A lot of the newspaper people are always from, but you're from Memphis, so that takes on a whole. Probably, and you said you went to White Station High School, so you probably grew up a Tiger fan back in the Memphis State days, I think. And I figure you and I are similar close in age, so I remember the Memphis State teams, and I was a huge Keith Lee fan and a huge Penny Hardaway fan.
So I remember those teams.
Dana Kirk and Larry Finch. I mean, God, I loved them always because my dad is from Tennessee, so I would always, even though we lived in Indiana, I'm a diehard Hoosier, and we are 6-0 right now on an 11-game win streak. I thought I'd mention that, Brent Watts.
Why not? You should.
6-0, 11-game win streak. Thank you very much.
Oh, I know.
He doesn't understand. He went to, like, Farragut High School in Maryville. He didn't understand basketball. He's living vicariously through me.
The best coach ever went to Purdue. Slap.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not true. Not true. I'm going to –
like I said to you earlier, remember I threw away a Damon Bailey autograph.
Yeah, that's because
– wow.
See how he is to me? I mean – I allow him to be on here with me, and he treats me like you threw away a Damon. That's because no one from – is anybody Tennessee ever?
The worse I treat you, the more you like me. So you're right, you bring this on yourself.
You're right. Well, anyway, let's talk a little bit. For 7 years, you were the prep editor for the Commercial Appeal. And I like to just dig into a little bit about just Memphis high school basketball in particular. Like 2 weeks ago, I had the pleasure of going up to the Penny Hardaway Tube Fest, and last week that's all I spoke about. And I know I probably get on the other, you know, the rest of the state, probably I get on their nerves a little bit when I just continuously spout about Memphis basketball and how different it is and how just the mentality is different. I mean, I had to tell people, I mean, they had 300 people outside. The fire marshal was there. You know, if one person left, they let one person in. That's how many people were at this game. And it was... you know, it was a coming out party for a couple young guys. It was just fantastic. But, you know, as a guy that's from Memphis, as a guy that covered Memphis high school basketball, is there something just ingrained in the city? Perception, the attitude? I mean, how do you explain that to somebody who may not understand that? I know it's probably something that's hard to articulate, but I've tried my best, you know, over the years to try and say, you know, when you're just sitting there and you're watching it, it's just different. It just feels different. It just means more or something. I don't know what it is, but I mean, is there an explanation that you have for that, or I know you've been asked that question many times before.
Oh, sure. I mean, Andre, I don't think I'm going to say anything that you don't know about this. You've covered it for so many years, but I think with Memphis, yes, just like you said, it's part of the fabric of the city. High school basketball is part of the fabric of Memphis, Tennessee. And the reason it is because it's produced so many damn good players over the years. I mean, you know, you could go down the line.
It's crazy.
There's the ones that we talk about all the time. Yeah, Penny Hardaway, Joe Jackson, those guys. But you got to go. You can go back to Bobby Bingo Smith, who's
remember
still the
him
all-time
well.
Leading scorer. Yeah, in Shelby Metro history, was a killer at Melrose and played for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland Cavaliers. He used to have his basketball card.
You got to go right. You got to go back. So you're talking about generations and generations and decades of big time hoopers and, like you said, big time basketball. And I think you're right. I think it's almost like when you cover Memphis high school basketball, it's almost like you're covering a different state in terms.
It really
of
kind of feels like that sometimes.
It kind of feels like that, especially when you're talking about AAA basketball, where Memphis has been so successful at the state level, kind of owned that AAA classification. It's almost like you got your own little state tournament going on in terms of teams from Memphis. Now, as you go down the list, obviously, that's where the other East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee starts making some noise, but Memphis has really owned that AAA classification. And it's because of that, that's why it's different. Going back to your question, that's why it's always been different. That's why Memphis fans are always looking for the next big thing at the high school level. You know, and for a while there, a few years ago, it was Joe Jackson. Now obviously now you got Chandler Lawson, who's a freshman at East. And the new one, and you know well, Andre, Tyler Harris, sophomore over Cordova, puts up 48 the other night, and now people are buying. You know, can't wait to get a ticket to go see Cordova High School.
Cordova's loaded too.
They're loaded. I mean, East is loaded. Cordova is loaded.
Germantown.
You can't even get out of your own city.
I know that's
Andre,
the thing. That's
where
the crazy.
Could,
only two teams. Yeah, only two teams get to go to the state. And
right.
The third
that's
team, the like one of those three teams we just talked about, Cordova, could probably win the state title, and they won't even have a chance to get there. So the playoffs are so competitive. But, you know, so what is it like? I mean, you know, being from there and covering hometown, like at right now you're the beat writer for the Tigers, and the Tigers have, you know, other than the Calipari era, maybe have always relied on local talent. How's that dynamic from a college perspective? You know, is there an expectation, you know, from the people in the city for, you know, the guys that you know, who's there now? Chris Crawford, or is he gone?
Chris Crawford's graduated, but you got a state MVP and Jeremiah Martin.
Jeremiah Martin, love him.
The last couple of years now, freshman. Who's actually started five games at point guard for the Tigers this year. I mean, you got four or five Memphis kids. Now, they just had some transfer out. You had Austin Nichols transfer from Memphis.
And Nick King
transfer out of Memphis. And I think this goes to your question, Andre, that when you have Memphis – see, this, you just point out correctly. When Cal was here for those 9 years, you know, for the most part, especially there in the last 4 or 5 years, he was recruiting nationally.
Right.
He didn't recruit – you know, he went after the Thaddeus Youngs and the big dogs, Elliot Williams as well. But he didn't go after every kid out of Memphis because he was able to recruit on a national level. That's changed now with Josh, obviously, especially with them not, you know, the brand not being nearly what it was under Cal. You're not able to go out and get as many of those national kids, so you got to rely more on what's been, as you said, the lifeblood of the program for so many years. Now, so you've opened the doors again to the Memphis kids. However, when you've got 4, 5, 6 on one team, and as you know, these Memphis kids, you know, they've been hearing since their freshman year, oh, you're going to be great, you're going to be the star, you're going to be this. And so what you get is a team full of Memphis kids, but what you also get is the folks that are in these kids' ears.
Yep.
They're on the team. So the 5 or 6 or 7 people that are around the kid are telling them, hey, you should be starting. Hey, you're not getting the minutes you should be getting. So not only are you trying to coach, you know, 13 kids and half of the team is Memphis, but you're also trying to coach, you know, trying to
please everybody.
Limit those voices.
Yeah,
and
I understand. That's a dynamic that people don't even think
about.
Yep. That is, exactly. I mean, you got to feel for Josh on that because, yeah, with every of those kids comes a handler.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it has been. Even in Austin Nichols' case, Austin Nichols didn't have a handler. However, his father was a stickler who was, you know, thought his kid should be doing more, thought perhaps that his kid should have been on more draft boards, NBA draft boards, and probably was a little bit concerned about a couple of brothers named Lawson coming in the next year and how much would that take away from his. So what you've got is in its own little environment of Memphis, you've got, you're worried about the next Memphis kid. Oh, is he going to get my minutes? Oh, is he going to get my shine, my chance to go to the league? And that's what, when you deal with a city that's as rich in basketball talent as Memphis is, that's what you get those kind of side effects. You get folks thinking, you get a lot of self-entitlement. You get a lot of kids thinking they're better than they are, and maybe who don't work as hard. You know, not all of them, though, but maybe the top brand who doesn't work as hard is maybe kids from East and Middle Tennessee who know they've got to work to get it, and it won't be handed to them.
Jason, can you tell me a little bit about some of the things when you're covering that high school basketball? What are some things that you've gotten some less than complimentary comments from parents that you either didn't include in an article or you included what I would call the truth in an article and then it upset? Like maybe you just called a spade and then the parent or the fans of that school or that player are upset with you.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific instances that you can remember?
I don't know if I can recall any specific instances, but you do. I mean, it is different. You're dealing with kids and parents, and it's even different from me covering the college level now, whereas you're a little bit more inclined to call a spade in college because at least the coaches are getting paid. You know, it's more of a business.
Sure.
And yeah, the kids are on scholarship, and you know, now it's just cost of attendance, but they're not workers. And so you're a little bit more hesitant to be critical of them personally than you would an NBA guy. And I think when you step down to the high school level, you take a little bit more off, or you don't want to. However, you do, as a journalist, you have a responsibility, like you just pointed out, to tell the truth to the readers, to the viewers, that kind of thing. So you want to be real. Let's just face it. You want to be real. But there is. I think there's a line of, I don't know if privacy is the word, but certainly of sensitivity that's there when you're covering high school sports that probably doesn't apply at the college and definitely not at the pro level. You got to be careful. I'll bring up this example. Jalen Fisher, senior at Bolton, everybody knows him. He's a McDonald's All-American nominee. You know, he's trying to get Bolton up to the Class AAA state tournament this year. Jalen Fisher has it's a condition, a skin condition. It's called albinism, where he's an African-American, but he has no pigment in his skin, and to where he's literally, his skin is the color of milk, almost like a white person. A lot of people don't understand what they're looking at when they see Jalen. They say, whoa, this dude looks weird. And what do we do when we don't know, when we tend to criticize those things. We make fun of those things because we don't understand them. And so long story short, Jalen has come up for most of his life getting made fun of because of the way his skin looks. And I wanted to write a story about that when I was with Andre
I remember that.
This summer. Yeah, this summer I wanted to write a story. Well, this is a very private thing for Jalen. Whereas opposed to an NBA guy or a college guy, has probably been through this kind of stuff, has had these stories written about him before. Jalen had never been approached and asked, hey, can I write about you, you know, your albinism? You know, it really seems like you've overcome some things. That was a sensitive subject for him. And even me asking him the question, can you do it, you could tell he was emotional about it. So I know we've gone far off probably what your question was originally, but when you're covering high school sports, there's a certain sensitivity that is required. You know, there's a certain tone that's required, and some people understand that, some people don't. But what you don't want to do is crush a kid, because in the end of it, you're dealing with kids, man.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with parents, and you want to be kind to those folks when you can.
And I think I think you're hitting on a very important topic, which is the other parents, when they're making these demands for their own child, et cetera, they're not understanding that their kid is competing against other kids. They're pulling that kid
right
out. Like the fact that that kid is also a child.
Oh, okay.
That you're almost trying to oppress, like that kid shouldn't be playing for my kid. So if I bring right that topic up enough, it'll keep that kid from playing. And
exactly right.
Parents in this generation make it challenging. There's
well,
no question about
it. You just hit it. You know, and we still say it to this day. We say, because that's what it is. A lot of times it's handlers, it's these runners for agents that are doing all this dirt. But I'm telling you, you just hit on it. These days, parents are sometimes worse than these handlers, than anyone else, because they're so hell-bent on their child being successful in whatever sport they've chosen than the kid actually is.
Yes.
Yeah, they live vicariously through the kid, unfortunately. Yeah, and to the kid's detriment, actually. I mean, you've got people I see it all the time. And, you know, when you do what I do, you know, ranking kids and evaluating kids, and, Lord, I have to be super careful on stuff I write. Now, I also have a service for college coaches that I write what I feel. And that's, between me and the coach. But stuff you put on the website, stuff you, you know, put on Twitter and things like that, you try your best to point out, you know, if I do write, like I have a camp in September, Carson Newman, that I do evals for. I put them on the website. Mm-hmm. And I try my best to, you know, say positive things and then constructive criticism is what I call it. You know, when in reality, sometimes you want to put, you know, you really need to quit this game, start playing badminton or something.
Not good enough.
Exactly. You know, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. I mean, that's great. You've got the passion, but, you know, there's a huge jump from the amount of high school kids to the 1.3% of high school kids that are going to play college basketball. So
that's right.
You know, a lot of times, but you have to be sensitive about that. And actually, it's probably a little bit of a relief for you to not really have to do that anymore. But it's still a different animal in Memphis, what you're covering, because just how much the city is just ingrained with the Memphis Tigers and how they identify. And it's just, I know that's got to be. What do you think the perception of Memphis is like nationwide? If you had to put it down from a high school standpoint, I would say, you know, people, you know, always good players coming out of there. You know, they always, you know, the year in and year out, always good players. But what do you think the people really think about Memphis nationwide?
Oh, I'm just going to be real with you. I think they think that Memphis players aren't nearly as talented as we like to think we are. And frankly, the other part about it is I think now you're seeing nationally some Memphis guys, their toughness tends to get questioned. You know,
that never happened before.
Well, you're right. It wouldn't have. But listen, and this is not to throw stones at a good kid, but an Adonis Thomas, who came out of Melrose a few years ago, and probably if they hadn't had the rule, probably just off potential would have gotten drafted out of Melrose.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this kid had the body. Oh my gosh, Adonis Thomas. I mean,
he was an Adonis. Yeah.
I mean, he was an Adonis all the way around. 6'6", just cut. And frankly, and I think Adonis would even admit this, he was never really challenged in high school. So when he faced some adversity at the college level, things didn't go exactly, weren't going as smoothly as he hoped. He wasn't the leading scorer. You started to see a different side of Adonis that we had no idea was there. It was a soft side, a side that, oh, wait a minute, things aren't going like I thought they would. I'm not averaging 25 points. What do you mean? Wait a minute, maybe I'm not going to the league after 1 year like I thought. And you'd have a kid that wouldn't play as hard because things weren't coming. A kid that didn't want to get in there and stick his nose and rebound. And, you know, you look at the kid, and sure, he's got all the measurables. But the one thing, Andre, that you know that can't be measured is that heart, man. Is that toughness.
You can't. And I've always said, yeah, I agree with you.
Right, yeah, I think right now that's the knock on Memphis kids. Because they've heard all their lives they're so good, or because they've been on that ranking list so high for so long, I think some of them aren't as tough as they should be. I think, and I think a lot of it's because they've been told for so long they're so good, and they haven't had to work like other kids have, so they're not nearly as tough. That when adversity comes, they tend to buckle rather than bow up.
You think that's generational? You think it's just this new set of kids, or is it just gradually starting to see it? Because you know, we can go back 10 years and. Gosh, you don't, you know, do you recall any of that 10 years ago?
You know what it is, Andre? You know what it is? It's the parents.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
We just talked
exactly.
about earlier. Now parents are more willing to give their kids an excuse and get them out of a situation. Hey, my kid's not playing at school A, so we're going to take him to school B where he can go play, rather than telling your kid, no, you're going to work harder and you're going to earn your way onto that team. No, you go and take him into a better situation. And I'm not saying that's not what you should do in some instances. But now it's everywhere.
Right,
now
happens a drop of a hat.
Kids back. Yeah. Right, kids are holding their kids back for a year or two just so they can be the best kid. You know, they'll be 2 years older, but they'll be the best kid in their class. It's ridiculous. Kids are changing because parents are changing, Andre. That's why.
No, we. I don't think I could agree with you more.
I can remember years ago thinking about this kid Billy McCaffrey that transferred from Duke to Vanderbilt, and you're like, oh, transferred. I'm like, what? You know, I'm trying to get the explanation from my older brother. Like, what do you mean transfer? And he's like, well, you know, he went to Duke for a while, and then you sit out a year, and then you start playing at another school. And I'm like, well, Duke, Vanderbilt, it's kind of either way, you know, both good schools, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened? Why do kids do that? Because this is the one kid I've heard about doing that. And now, you know, I'm an NBA fan. I love it. I'm addicted. But the kids act like, you know, I'm going to go here, see how it works out, and then I'll just transfer over here, and
the transfer rate's outrageous.
Is absurd.
It's higher than it's ever been before. And there's, and I think we're hitting on why.
In my opinion, there's no way that kids can be involved in basketball and have a transfer or two and complete a full academic degree at an institution. You it's going to be piecemealed. It's not going to reach. It's not going to get what you're supposed to get out of that endeavor.
Sounded to me like you need an academic degree trying to put that sentence together.
I have a master's degree. I'm trying to be very, very, very detailed in what I'm saying, so it's not misconstrued.
Hooked on phonics worked for me.
But yeah, I mean, how do you ever focus on the classroom when you're changing schools, when your first focus is basketball? And because college, even just to graduate in 4 years, is tough enough to get the 129-130 credits.
Man, well, Jay, we've went a little longer than we thought, but we got into a pretty nice in-depth discussion. I know you got some things you need to take care of and get ready for the ball game tonight, man, but I really, really appreciate you taking a little bit of time to talk to us, man. It was very educational, and I just I can't tell you enough how much I respect you and how much I enjoy your stuff, and I really consider you a friend, and I really thank you for taking the time to talk to us, man.
I appreciate both you gentlemen having me on. Anytime, do it again soon.
All right, thank you. All right, that was in our Kelly Chiropractic interview segment, Jason Smith from the Memphis Commercial Appeal. We're going to go ahead and take this to break. This is Andre Whitehead, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the LZ.
People wanted to keep up with and talk about their favorite sports teams, so we took care of it.
What'd you do?
All the latest info, all the best talk here on the Sports Station.
The Vols, Titans, and more. Sound off. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, at sportsradiothevlz.net.
Have you ever wanted to see more of the Avengers, X-Men, or Walking Dead, or learn more about the Arrow or the Flash? Or maybe you're looking for a great way to get your child into reading without having to spend a lot of money? Then check out Snake Eyes Comics. Snake Eyes Comics has been Knoxville's top spot for all your comic and nerd needs. With two convenient locations in the Home Depot Shopping Center in West Knoxville and off the Callahan Road exit in North Knoxville, Snake Eyes Comics has something for everyone. Find us on Facebook and stop in today. This is Andre Whitehead at Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio to talk about my friends at the John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. For all your commercial, home, and auto needs, look to the John Bailey Company at 1011 North Broadway in Knoxville or contact them at 865-524-0785 or email at johnbaileyco.com. The John Bailey Company, Knoxville's independent insurance agency since 1946. How can we help you?
Join us for an in-depth discussion of the penetrating issues facing society today.
Penetrating.
The Swain Event, the fourth quarter. Rocky Top Insider Radio. The Dave Hooker Show and more. Sports talk around the clock. Sun up to sundown and online all the time. The new Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.
All right, we are back. This is Andre Whitehead, Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ. And now is the time when we kind of turn it over to Brent a little bit for the small college report. But Seth, you remember last week?
I mean, Andre killed it. He set the bar high.
I killed the small college
report
last week.
But in order to set the bar high, he literally had to pick it up off the ground to put it high.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the bar was way down. You could have jumped over the little bar.
He had to pick some stuff off of the bar.
With my vertical, you could have got over the bar.
I was actually going to give you a compliment, but self-compliments kill any ability for you to receive an actual compliment.
Well, I led Andre into that.
The theme song for your small college report last week should have been Even Better Than the Real Thing by U2. But not now.
No one's theme song should
not
ever
now.
Be a U2 song.
By who?
They're terrible.
Well, U2.
You mean me and Seth?
No.
No, oh, the band.
It's
a band. You know, Bono.
Joshua Tree.
Whose stadium concerts still cost more than an average mortgage payment. You know, yeah, they're nothing.
Gotcha.
They're nothing. But, yeah, let's get in. Let's, you know, here's a chance. I'm going to mention the one-man gang.
Can we start
Thunder.
With the one-man gang,
yes,
please?
We can. I beat you to the punch. And go ahead.
Went over the 2,500 barrier.
Points.
Boom.
That's awesome. He's a 6 foot post.
Yeah. I think he's 6'2", but some say 5'11".
He's a 6 foot post.
Yeah.
That's a big, there's a difference.
Here's his criticism. He's only second in the country in rebounding.
Oh.
Why
well, that was last week. He might have passed him because he was only 0.4 away.
Yeah.
It was 13.7 and 13.3.
So. Holy shnikes. That is, you know, and then just the obligatory, the one man gang's skinny twin, Devin Schmidt, still
tearing it up.
Dude, the best thing about Devin Schmidt is to read his roster profile and all the awards underneath his name. And then you realize that he's just in his junior season.
He's in his sophomore season.
No, he's a junior. This is his third year there.
Sure about that?
Positive. Absolutely positive. But yeah. Because he's been first team all Gulf South as a freshman and a sophomore. Yeah,
I love that. He's doing great, man.
Dude,
good for him.
Is,
good kid.
Yeah, that's amazing. I guess the biggest news in small college out of the state has to be that Sewanee has run 6 in a row.
That's the biggest news.
Yeah, right now Maryville lost. Rhodes is 8-7.
Who did Maryville lose to? Just recently.
In overtime last weekend, I don't want to mention, but they are playing
last night, didn't they?
No, they're playing tonight. That game against Covenant just over the border, basically. Yeah, it's tonight.
Is it at Maryville?
Yeah, me and Andrew might be going. I was going to mention it to you.
I was
going to
say
I may
follow you over there.
But you know, Christian Brothers is at 8-9. LMU's making a resurgence in the polls. They're moving back.
Their Taquan Choice went over 1,000 points.
Yeah, he did too. Back to Sewanee. Two kids from the Summer Rock Top League, both, one from Knoxville, one from Chattanooga. Fulton and McCauley were their high schools. Brody Stone's averaging 8-6 for the Sewanee Tigers. Juice is at 14.5 points.
And Juice also went over the 1,000-point area recently.
That's Jordan Williams to the layperson, but if you listen to the show regularly, like I hope you do, that's Jordan Williams. Juice. So a lot of good things, a lot of cool things going on in the small college world course. Everything's going to come down. Especially in Division III and Division II, where you don't have 69 or whatever bids, the ratio is much tighter. So
they're in conference play right now. So I'd say once February starts, the games start meaning a lot more.
At-large bids are almost exclusive to Division I. So, I mean, like literally.
So basically in Division II, you have to win your conference.
Yeah. There's a handful of them in Division II. There's like 6 in Division III. And you got 450 teams in Division III trying to get like 54 NCAA tournament spots. So, yeah, it's just a different environment. Win your conference, you're in, bottom line. So, other than that, that's kind of the gist of the small college stuff. Something else I wanted to talk about was we got big news coming in the next show or two. You know,
can I mention something? I don't know if you call it small college so much, but how about ETSU? Lester Wilson is starting to get a little more time. And
well, the ankle's healing.
The ankle's healing. AJ Merriweather's out, so that's gotten him a few more minutes. And he's starting to starting to move up the ranks. I think he's, I want to say, 33 pointers away from being the all-time
Courtney Pegram's record.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's
now,
impressive.
You know, he's starting to be a lot more, I guess, a lot more focal point and a lot more looked at.
I gotta do this.
I'm so happy.
I gotta do this for the wonderful Bev. Fluffy is doing well up there at ETSU.
Hey, that's my boy Fluffy.
You know
how that came about.
Yeah, I know.
You?
I know.
He wanted a nickname.
Yeah.
Because I was giving all the kids nicknames and he wanted a nickname. And I thought, I think Fluffy's perfect, you know? And he goes, well, I'm not Fluffy. I said, well, no. It's like when you call a chubby guy Slim or a tall guy or a short guy, tall or something. I said, it's an opposite thing. He didn't like it, but
I will
the
say,
name has stuck amongst his very close
friends. I will say the action figure has, I'm almost positive he's going to pursue a pro career in basketball.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt.
I think he's got the intelligence, the work ethic, and the body that's going
to
excel at
to
that
be able
level.
To play
so
somewhere. I hope he gets a chance.
I'm not saying that he may work his way up to the NBA at some point, but I think his career will progress over time.
He'll
I think
play overseas he's the kind of, somewhere, no
yeah,
question.
He'll have.
Well, have you said we got big news coming.
Yeah, I don't want to break it yet, but what I do want to say is I do want to say thank you to our sponsors, Doc Kelly, Kelly Chiropractic.
Absolutely.
If you're having any of those nagging injuries, call Doc Kelly. I want to say thanks to Brandon, my high school teammate at John Bailey. Hey, and then Darren at MIG.
MIG.
Both companies are statewide. They can help you anywhere.
And Snake Eyes Comics, who has helped us in the past. You know, we're still looking for sponsors all the time, guys.
If you want
to
connect to the
game. Please help us support high school basketball. We're pretty much your only outlet. You know, in other parts of the state, sometimes the newspapers do a good job. But,
please continue to.
If you listen to the show, you realize, and if you know me, you realize my passion is getting you guys seen and getting you guys talked about. So, you know, anything you can do, come to the website, tmprephoops.com, and come to, follow me on Twitter, at tmprephoops. Listen to the show, tmprephoops.podomatic.com.
Yeah, we're a service. You know, that's what we are. We're trying to promote kids and the right way to do things when we see wrongs, some of the wrongs that we've addressed on the show, going back to the girls' game that was thrown, the coaches tried to throw the game, and kids putting basketball ahead of grades. Get involved. We're only going to grow through building fans, not just part-time listeners. If you want to get involved and have that connection to the game, hit us up on Twitter, email, call, text. We have a role for anybody that wants to get involved in the show, pretty much. I mean, we can use your knowledge.
Guest hosts.
If you want to go check out a game for us and report back, you know, just however. So, but definitely thanks to our guys, Brandon at John Bailey Company and Darren at MIG.
Yeah.
Now, back to basketball. Andre and I sat here. Pretty easy to get a player of the week.
What's our big news?
Well, it's sponsorship related. I'm just teasing, so we're not going to bring that up.
I got you. Well, you brought it up. You can't say, hey, we got big news,
You'll hear more about it on the next show.
Okay.
So I know
what you're talking about.
I'm giving you a reason to come back and listen next week. So.
Okay, I got to ask you one question before we do this. Who you got in the Rumble this weekend?
Oh,
the Royal Rumble
is
Sunday.
He's going in first.
You got Roman Reigns winning it?
I thought the Big Show was going in first. The Big Show said he was going in first.
What are you talking about? Who are you? Roman Reigns is the number one entry, you know.
I know, but the Big Show came out on Raw and said, I'm going in first. And he threw a bunch of people out of the ring. He said, I'm going in first. And he's a former Wichita State Shocker, by the way.
He's not going in first. Roman Reigns
Okay, well, I know Roman Reigns.
Because of Vince and Stephanie.
Yeah, but who played first, or who played football at Georgia Tech?
He's got to defend the title against 29 others.
I could do it.
You could do it.
I could.
Well, I'm going to give it to you right now. You want to know?
They scripted it for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Be on the lookout. This AJ Styles is going to make his debut this weekend. You watch.
By the way, I would pay Freddie Prinze Jr. to write me winning it because he's a writer for WWE.
So. Is he really? Yeah,
absolutely.
I didn't know that.
I think he was like one time. I don't think he's permanently.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's
go back. You hit the nail
John
on the
Bailey
head.
John Bailey Company, Player of the Week.
Yeah, let's. That was easy. Ridener.
Chase Ridenhour, yeah. Knoxville Webb, 37 points in the upset win over Fulton. Great
and
job, Chase.
Junior college coverage. You hit my nail on the head without me asking. Go for it.
Darren Poppin, Mortgage Investors Group, Coach of the Week. Seth, how many coaches do you know that have won 800 games?
None.
Well, from Walter State Community College, Mr. Bill Carlisle got his 800th win this week.
Good for him. Fantastic.
Great guy, wonderful guy, and he is our Darren Poppin, Mortgage Investors Group Coach of the Week.
That's
well,
a lot of wins.
Well-deserved.
Environment. JUCO presents its own special problems, and he has found success for years.
His story he told me, he used to coach at Oklahoma State, and his coach sent him out to watch this prospect, and he called his coach back and he says, Coach, this guy ain't good enough to play for us, but they've got this guard that's really good. We really should give him a chance. Coach said, no, I want this guy. I want this guy. And then Carlos said, you know who the guard was? Maurice Cheeks. So anyway. All right, we're going to have to bring this one to an end. This is Andre Whitehead with Brent Watts, Seth Stokes. Thank you, everybody. Tennessee Prep Hoops Radio, Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ.